Okay. Jeff, do you have the possibility on your phone of taping this shit just in case this doesn't work?
Yeah.
Okay, if you don't mind. That'll just be a backup. And then we'll erase it as soon as we're sure that this was. So, Rabosai, we started the Mishkanos HaRoim yesterday. I want to just give an overview of what we've seen and then try to move on. And we're talking about four Shitos of Rishonim, possibly even five Shitos of Rishonim, about what is the status of Nesina. Okay then, because the Mishnah says, Elu Naris Sheyeshlam Knas, Habola Mamzeres Bi Al HaNesina. So we start with Rashi Shita. We're going to analyze Rashi a little bit more in depth today. And beyond Rashi, we're going to study the Shitos of the Rambam, the Ramban, the Ravid, and the Meiri. That's going to be our job for today. And the Mishkanos HaRoim is going to give us sort of like an overview of these Shitos with an analysis. So that'll take us, I would say, the first half of Shia. The second half of Shia, I'm going to ask for your indulgence, in a sense, your patience. I want to just plow through the Gemara line by line. Now, that's going to change as soon as my morning Shia gets up and running. Today, I get a Mazel Tov. John gets a Mazel Tov. We finished Masechta Megillah. Okay, I haven't finished too many Masechtas in my life, so that's a big milestone. And as of tomorrow, once we have Megillah out of the way, so to speak, we're going to begin the third pack of Ksubas, and that'll give me the ability that we can come into Shia at 11:45 and get right down to business, you know, to learn it to you.
And not do it line by line.
Well, again, I may read the lines, but that'll be more of a keresh kfitza, you know, just a takeoff point. But I'm going to assume, you know, that it's an Ian Shia. In fact, Sam confirmed that you would have received in your email, as of like 8:30 this morning, a schedule of my Shi'urim for the whole week. So if you happen to have a smartphone with you, you can look up and see. It might come into something called promotions because it's sent out to X number of people, and you'll see my whole schedule for the week.
Promotions. Okay, it could have gone to spam also.
Right, it might have gone to spam. I don't know.
Okay.
But if you're on the ELC email list, then as of just two, three hours ago, I can show you what it looks like. You should have received the overall schedule.
So the office over there conducts the list. They make the list. I don't think I'm on the list.
Ah, so if you do me a favor, either I'll pass it on to the office, or if you can swing by the office with your email address.
I'll just go there after the shiur.
After the shiur, and make sure that they add you to that.
Okay, thank you.
Now, that schedule that you should have received in your email will also include two shiurim that are not yet up and running. I'm just waiting to see if they're miva miyaholchen, if there are people interested. Because in addition to teaching ksubas, and that'll be, again, in the shtibuch at an early hour for those who daven at 6:30 in the morning, I give a shiur, and that's going to be my Gemara Rashi shiur in ksubas. That's at 7:30 in the morning. But in addition to that, and that shiur I pick up on here at 11:45 with an Iyun shiur. But in addition to that, I'm learning Masechta Sanhedrin. So there were three choices, if you remember. I dropped Bava Metzia, not because I don't think Bava Metzia is a good option. I want to leave that for Emirat Hashem next year, you know, sometime around after Sukkot. Maybe we'll pick up Shnayim Olsen, you know. So for now, I've taken upon myself, I always call myself a masochist, I've taken upon myself two prakim in two different masechtas, which I've never learned in my life. One is the first parak of Sanhedrin, and the other is the third parak of Ksubas. So for the first parak of Sanhedrin, I do a kind of a fast-paced Shia Gemara Rashi at 8:30, right here in this room, and that lasts for an hour. And what I'm offering, but again, this is not up and running yet, is that two mornings a week at around 10:30 for 45 minutes, we would learn Sanhedrin Be'iyun. Be'iyun. So that Sanhedrin will also have this, you know, I'm trying to have both a fast-paced shiur and an Iyun shiur for each one of these two choices. In addition to that, on Wednesday nights at 8:30, I have a group of about 4 or 5 fellas. They come to learn Sanhedrin B'Iyun. So I'm just seeing, you'll see it all in this, you know, she did a nice job. You know, she writes the hours on the left and then the days on the right, and she has this table, and that's what we have. So now we're going to try to finish up on this Mishkanos HaRoim that we started yesterday. And then what I'd like to do with you, because my 7:30 shiur in Ksubis has not yet begun. That's going to begin tomorrow. So we just made a siyum today on Megillah. So then in the meantime, I'd like to ask you to bear with me, and we'll plow through the Gemara. We'll do about a blot Gemara in the third parak of Ksubis together. But first we'll finish up on the Sina. So we started with Rashi yesterday. And Rashi clearly indicates, and Tosfos embellishes Rashi, that the Iser Nesina is only Derabbanan. It is a creation of David HaMelech, apparently extending the original Gzera of Yoshua. Yoshua made them into Chotvei Eitzim and Shovei Mayim, and David also made them into Avodim, or in the case of a woman, a Shivcha. And the whole business is Derabbanan. What that means is that on a Doraisa level, the Iser of Lo Tischatein Ba is eliminated because of the Gerus. And the Torah recognizes and validates the Gerus. I emphasize that because other Rishonim are going to have a major argument against Rashi on this very point about whether or not the Torah recognizes their Gerus. Their Gerus was a very tenuous kind of Gerus. It was certainly not motivated by a love of Judaism. It was motivated by the fact that Yeshua came in to the land of Israel, of Canaan, and he was just mowing everybody down. They had defeated Jericho, which was a major city in terms of its security. And then they defeated Ai, and they were going on to defeat the whole. So these people came from Givon. They presented themselves, and they tried to dupe, you know, the Yoshua and his officers, and to think that they came from far away. You know, they camouflaged themselves, and that they were, and they, as a result, they wanted to enter into a bris and be part of the Jewish nation. But it wasn't, it was anything but a sincere Gerus. Rashi nevertheless seems to recognize that Gerus, validate it, and in our Torah, Ein hanesinim asurim me'achar shen nizgairu v'rak asur mishum gzeras David. So that's what you'll see in the very first paragraph. And again, I'm encouraging you to look inside to the text only because I'm testing the waters here, whether or not this could be a major source for our study. He sets up, and he writes that his goal is to really cover the entire perek, Be'iyun. Then we get to the Rambam. The Rambam seems to be on the same turf as Rashi. The Rambam is in Hilchas Yisurei Bia. Yesterday we had a Rambam on the table. I don't know where it disappeared. It's Kedusha. Do we have it here?
Yes.
So let's look at the Rambam inside. The Rambam is in Perek Yud Beis, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see if we find it. Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Chaf Beis. Mihilchas Yisurei Bia. Okay, Mishin is Gai Mishiv HaAvamim. Eino Asur Mirat Torah Lova B'Kol. So that Gerus is absolutely effective as far as the Shiva Avamim to remove the Iser of Lotus Chatein Bam. But he says, out of the Shiva Avamim, there was only one group of Palestinians, I use that word to mean those who occupied the land, and that was the Givonim, who actually went through Gerus. However, he says, Yoshua Gazar Aleim, and again, it seems that before Yoshua's Gzera, they would have been Mutar B'Kol, because the Gerus is an absolutely valid Gerus. However, Yoshua Gazar Aleim, says the Rambam, Shiyu Asurim Lava B'Kol. Okay, and then the Rambam justifies why David HaMelech had to introduce a second Gzera to prohibit the Givonim from entering into and marrying into the people of Israel. And the Rambam explains that Yoshua had a limitation, a time limitation to his Gzera, and David HaMelech extended it for all times. The Rambam goes on to ask, why was this gzera enacted? I mean, what's so terrible about the Gaon? If the Torah recognizes their gerus, why can't they marry into the Jewish folk? And he answers, because of the Azus and Achzorius Shahoysa Bahem. This is in a different episode of the Bnei Shol. And as a result of this personification of Achzorius, we don't want them to enter into the Jew. But the entire Isser is only Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. That's Rashi, and that's the Rambam. So that's Hakofa Aleph. Now we get to Rabbeinu Tam, and that's this long Tosfos here at the very beginning of Perek Elu Naris. And Rabbeinu Tam establishes that an Asina Asura Min HaTorah, the Isser of an Asina, even after Gerus, is Min HaTorah. And that's under the law of Lo Tischatein Bam. Lo Tischatein Bam, this is based on Rav and Masechta Yevamos Ayin Vav, is interpreted to mean you could have married them, meaning they are part of the Jewish nation, but the Torah prohibits you from marrying them because they belong to these seven nations. And that's what he writes over here in the second paragraph, the lav ze nemar big gerusam. So they have undergone conversion, and yet the Torah says, despite the conversion, you're not allowed to marry them. And that's a separate lav in the Torah. The Giyusam, if it's before the Geirus, there's nothing to talk about. There's no chasnus at all. Now, Rabbeinu Tam has to face the question, where does David come into play? The Gemara says that David Gozer Aleim. What's David Gozer Aleim? Yeshua Gozer Aleim. David Gozer Aleim. And he says that he made a separate gzera that they should be mishubadim. In other words, they should have the status of an Eved or a Shivcha. That was a way of being marchik them and guaranteeing that no one would marry them. Again, the Torah says you're not allowed to marry them. But nevertheless, since they're part of the Jewish people, insofar as they underwent Gerus, there could be a temptation as time goes on that they would mix into the Jewish people. So in order to establish that and guarantee that they wouldn't mix into the Jewish people, intermarry with the Jews, they made these gzeros, whether it's Yoshua's gzero or David's gzero, to give them the status of an Eved or a Shivcha. So that's Hakofa Beis. Again, this is the two polar extremes here. Rashi and the Rambam on one hand, and Rabbeinu Tam on the other extreme. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam Rashi and the Rambam maintain that since they entered into Gerus and the Torah recognizes their Gerus, therefore they're allowed to enter into the intermarry with the Jewish people, Knisa L'kol. Just that David instituted a Gzera that asked them from marrying into the Jewish people. And David had to extend it beyond the time limitation of Yeshua's Gzera. Rabbeinu Tam on the other extreme is saying, no, the Torah prohibits marriage with the Zayin Amim even after Gerus. And the whole purpose of David was to find some sort of mechanism by which he could guarantee that they would not intermarry into the Jewish people.
It's just a method of keeping them down.
Right, keeping them down, that they would be identified as a separate entity on a lower echelon. They would not intermarry with the Jewish people. Now, you and I might say, well, wait a minute, why don't we allow them to intermarry? You know, we're all men were created equal. You know, why do we want to downplay these people? But David HaMelech felt that they would introduce into the Jewish people a very negative element in terms of their midos, and we want to separate that and be marchik them from Klal Yisrael. Yeah. By the way, again, don't quote me on this, but in the Syrian community today, they don't recognize Gerim. They don't allow Gerim into the community, in the Chalabi community. And my brother-in-law was the old Shalom. He was a Rav in a Chalabi community, even though he was from the Pup of a Hasidim. His name was Greenwald. But they forced him to sign a document that if he's serving as a Rav, and again, his community originally were Turkish and Greek, you know, they were Comancheros, you know, and all that stuff. So they didn't have that takana, but the Syrians came from Aram Chalaba. They had a takana that goes back hundreds and hundreds of years that we don't recognize Gerim. And the reason is because there were so many Gerim who just were marrying, you know, they wanted to marry Jews, and Jews wanted to marry non-Jews, and that's why they used Geris as a fig leaf. So in order to guarantee the continuity of the Jewish Syrian community, they took upon themselves a Gerim, not to recognize Gerim. And a lot of people have suffered from that Gerim. And my brother-in-law did not want to sign, but he had no choice. You know, if he's part of that community, he's serving as a rav, a chacham, as they call it, he has to sign. But that's on the side.
I remember in YU, there was a Syrian guy, and I went to him for Shabbos, and he told me, "You're Ashkenazi. Don't even think about dating any of the girls."
Right, but that's already, that's not a cherim. You know, there are Ashkenazi.
That's exactly Rabbanan on
right.
We don't do cares, but we Rabbanan, we also don't
right. Right, you know, if an Ashkenazi marries a Syrian or vice versa, that's like an intermarriage for them. Right. But there's no cherim against that. And one of my good friends was a Rav, he's a Syrian, a Rav in Deal, New Jersey, in a Syrian community. He was married to an Ashkenaziyah. So that's one thing. But Gerim, forget it. That's not even Shaykh. And a lot of people suffer from that, you know, because it affected even the next generation, because the previous generation, one of the parents were converts. Anyway, getting back on the horse here, we have a third sheet, which is the Ramban sheet. The Ramban is going to set up a difference between one dar and all the other daros. The original dar of the Nesinim were included under this Iser Doraisa of Lo Tischatein Bam despite their gerus, but that only lasts for one generation. So the children of Gerim, Nesinim, so you have two Givonim, two Nesinim, Nesina, Nesina, right? Nasin and Nesina, and they get married together. Their children already could marry into the Jewish folk. Mm-hmm. And the Ramban bases his claim on the fact that nowhere does the Torah mention Doros as it does elsewhere in Mitzri, Adomi, or Amaleki, or Moab and Ammon. There, the Torah always either says how many Doros, or it says L'Doros Sehem, or L'Doroson, which means for all generations. Ad Olam. But here, none of those words appear in Lo Tischatein Bam, and therefore this Iser of Sheva Amamin only applies to first generation Gerim. Now David HaMelech comes along and he establishes an Iser Olam that these are not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. So on one level, the Ramban agrees with Rabbeinu Tam that we're dealing with Lo Tischatein Bam as an Iser Torah Lova Bekal even after the Gerus, although we recognize that Gerus. In that sense, the Ramban is going hand in hand with Rabbeinu Tam, but once he gets to the next generation, then he parts ways with Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is going to assume that this Iser Lav of Lo Tischatein Bam applies for all eternity, for all generations out of Olam, as if the Torah said out of Olam. Thus Rabbeinu Tam holds that, on the contrary, once the Torah said ad olam, in the cases of Ammon and Moab, then you assume that all Isurei Kol are ad olam, unless you know otherwise, like in the cases of Mitzri Adomi, where the Torah specifies Doros, you know, whether it's two Doros, three Doros, and so forth. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Iser Lo Tischatein applies throughout the Doros, and here's where the Ramban parts ways with Rabbeinu Tam, because he holds that the Iser only applies to the first Dor. So now, according to the Ramban sheet, the David's Gzera is a very serious and understood Gzera. It's not just a harchaka, it's not just a method to guarantee the Torah law, because on the Torah law, this woman can be married by a Jewish man. Why? Because it's already the second generation. But David wanted to make sure that we wouldn't do so, and he created a whole new Iser Knisa Lakal for Nesinim Ad Olam. For all generations. So that's the third shita here. We can, in a certain sense, we can classify Rashi and the Rambam as one shita, and Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban as another shita. You know, if you had a flowchart, because to a large extent, there's a fundamental machlokas between these two polar extremes. Meaning, did the Torah impose an iser lo sischatein bam on Gerim from the Zion Amamin? Rashi says no, and Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban say yes. From Rashi's perspective, the Torah would recognize that Gerus in the fullest sense and be mata them to Lovel Akol. The whole business, the whole category of Nesinim is only a Gzeret Rabbanon of David HaMelech. On the other extreme, we have Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban. They hold that Lotus Chatimam applies to the seven nations after Gerus, even though the Gerus is valid. However, the fundamental machlokas within that shita that insists that there's an Issa Deraisa Lotus Chatimon after Gerus is the machlokas shim Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban. Rabbeinu Tam assumes ad olam that for all generations the Torah said that these Gerim that come from the seven nations cannot marry into the Jewish folk, whereas the Ramban would say that it's only the first generation, and the second generation, that's all an Iser Derabban of Knesset Lekol that was enacted by David HaMelech. Now we get to the third, so we get to the fourth Shita, we'll call it, the fourth Shita, and that's the Ravid. On one hand, the Ravid is very similar to Rabbeinu Tam, meaning that the Isolot Eschatin Bam is going to apply for all generations on a Doraisa level. But that's just you'd be fooling yourself if you thought that the Ravid is in any way similar to Rabbeinu Tam. The Ravid is fundamentally different than Rabbeinu Tam. And of all the Shitos, it's the Ravid who in a certain sense has broken away from all the Rishonim. In what sense? According to the Ravid, the Lotus Chatein Bam is not a reflection of the, if I can call it, the genetic yichus of the seven nations, as Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban would have. The Torah says, I don't want you marrying these nations. Lotus Chatein Bam. Again, according to the Ramban, that only lasts for one generation of Gerim, but according to, let's take Rabbeinu Tam for example, that forever and ever, ad olam, we cannot marry these into the, let these nations after Gerus marry into the Jewish people. So the issue is what I call an issue of yuchsin. Yuchsin means there's a Jewish yuchsin, and then there's the Sheva Amamin of yuchsin. The Goyim, except for the Sheva Amamin, can become part of Yuchsin of Klal Yisrael. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, at least, and for the Ramban, for the first generation, we cannot allow the Sheva Amamin. You know, it's almost like there are three levels of Yuchsin. There's Klal Yisrael, there's all the Umos, and then there's the Sheva Amamin. Sheva Amamin. What do I mean? With regard to the Yuchsin in all the other nations, they are potentially able to enter into and receive the Yuchsin of Klal Yisrael. Then we get to the third level, which is Shiva Amamin. Their Yichus is so negative that the Torah doesn't allow them to marry into Klal Yisrael. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, that means forever and ever. So that's a Yuchsin issue. According to the Ravid, this has nothing to do with Yuchsin. This has to do simply with Gerus. It's all about Gerus. The name of the sugya of Nesinim is a Gerus sugya. We're learning Hilchas Gerus. And the question now is whether or not the Nesinim, the Givonim, underwent Gerus. Meaning, is this a valid Gerus? And yesterday I wasn't aware of this, so I want to sharpen, you know, the perspective on what we're saying today in contrast to what we said yesterday. So the Ravid basically is putting the following question on the table. Is the Gerus valid or is it not valid? Right? We're talking about a case where the Goyim, the Givonim in this case, were afraid of the Jewish nation. We're going to have this later on in the case of the Kusim, but it took place even earlier than the Kusim. The Kusim were actually afraid of lions that would eat them up, because they were brought by the kings of Ashur to settle in the land, and they were still worshipping their pagan religions, and they felt that the lions were coming to attack them and devour them because they weren't observing the Torah. So that's the Kusim, which we'll talk about. But that's called Gerei Arayos, Arayos with an Aleph, not with an Ayin. And Gerei Arayos means they were afraid of the lions. In the Ravitz perspective, the Givonim were also afraid of lions, but not lions, but rather the military might of the Jewish people, of Yoshua and his troops. They were afraid of the power of the military might of the Jewish nation. You know, I always say, halavai, we should have such a thing in our time, you know. So the Ravitz says, what is the status of the Gerus of these Givonim? Again, from the Sheva Mitzvahs, from the Sheva Amamin, as we saw in the Rambam earlier, historically the only group that came to be Mizgayer was the Givonim. That was the group. So what we have to do now is we have to ask a question about the Givonim. What is the status of the Givonim? Does the Torah validate the Gerus, or does the Torah not validate the Gerus? And here the Ravitz says the following, that there's the Tchilason and the Staman. What does that mean? Tchilason is that generation of, or that episode of Gerus that took place at the time of Yoshua, when the Givonim underwent conversion because of the fear of the Jewish nation. And according to the Ravid, the Torah does not recognize that Gerus because it was out of fear. And he classifies it as Ke Gerei Arayos. Now look at that Chaf Adimya. What I think the Ravid is saying, he's not willing to go as far as to say that they have the status of Kusim, which according to many Tanoim already, back in the time of the Mishnah, they have the status of Goyim, and that Gerus is not worth a dime. That far he's not willing to go, but he says that their Gerus is King Gerei Arayos. You know, the Rav taught us that whenever you see the Chaf Adimya, you have to come up with a brisket Tzvei Dinim, but by definition, because Kim means that in one dimension they're similar, and in another dimension they're not similar. So the Ravid is not going to, at this point, spell out exactly what he means by these two dimensions of Gerus, one of which is valid, and one of which is not valid. So that's where we have to work very hard. Now, that's called Bitchilosam. Bitchilosam means the original Givonim and their Gerus. Now, what happens down the line? Generations pass. What is the status of a Givoni in the next generation, in the third generation, in the fourth generation, etc., etc.? Supposing a Givoni comes forward on his own initiative, not because of the fear of the military powers of Klal Yisrael, and he decides he declares that he wants to become a Jew. So here's where the Ravid employs the word Staman Kitchilosan, and we're going to spend a lot of time now understanding what he means by Staman Kitchilosan and what are the two dimensions of Gerus. So again, on the one end, the Ravid is saying that their Gerus is invalid. I'm talking about the original Tchilosan Gerus at the time of Yoshua. It's invalid as far as what? As far as Lo Tischatein Bo. Do you see what's going on here, Rabosai?
It's invalid.
It's invalid with regard to the question of Chitun.
Okay.
So if Gerus is meant to accomplish Chitun, right, of what we call a Heter Mutal Likonis Lekal, then in this case, because they converted out of fear, their Gerus could not accomplish a Heter Lovo Bekal. So the deficiency in the Gerus, because of the fear element, expresses itself in Lo Tischatein Bom. The Ravid nowhere says that the Gerus is completely invalid. If he would have said so, he would have said Geri Arayos him, like in the case of Kusim, according to that Mandium. He says Ki Geri Arayos. It's like Geri Arayos, which means vis-a-vis a certain dimension of Gerus, we don't recognize the Gerus. It's invalid. It's Geri Arayos vis-a-vis X. And what is that X? Lotus Chatevo. And basically what the Rebbe is doing for us is he's taking the concept of Gerus and he's breaking it down into two. There's Gerus vis-a-vis X, and then there's Gerus vis-a-vis Y. The Y in this case is clear. I'm not sure what the X is. We have to define. But the Y is with regard to Knisa Lakal. So with regard to Knisa Lakal, the Gerus has to achieve a Heter Knisa Lakal, a Kedushas Yisrael, to marry into the Jewish religion, the Jewish people. And with regard to that element, the Torah is not willing to recognize the Gerus of the Givonim. So the Kigeri Arayis fear element is going to be Mafkia, is going to invalidate the Gerus with regard to the Heter Knisa Lakal.
So they could cook, they could, they're not Menasech Yayin.
So wait a second, Yosef, you're a step ahead of me. But with regard to X, the Torah does validate the Gerus. What's X? Forget about you know, wine and cooking and so forth. What's X?
The obligations
of
the mitzvahs.
Tariq mitzvahs. And this you'll see if you turn to the other side of the page for a moment. We'll fast forward. I'm not skipping the major paragraphs here, which we have to study. But you'll see on the right column, "V'nimtzenu lemeidim midivrei arayis." Do you have that? He says the Eishnam Shnei. He calls them inyone gerus. All right, I would have used a different word just because of my style. I would have called it shtei bechinos begerus, two dimensions or aspects of gerus. The afal pi shekvar hayu gerim gemurim v'chayovim b'tayag mitzvus mikomakom shayach b'em inyan nosaf shel gerus, which I think means there's another dimension of gerus. In other words, you start with a guy and you end up with a full-fledged Jew. Gerus is meant to take you from, you know, through that, you know, it's the arrow that takes you from X to Y, right? From being a full guy to a full Jew. But he's saying that Gerus is not just, right, the power of Gerus is not just to create a chiyuv mitzvos, but it's also lachnisam leklal Yisrael, which I would say lachnisam lekahal Yisrael, whatever word you like. Ulatira me'isa lo tischatim bom she'asra nakosu mitchila.
Mitchila. What does mitchila mean?
Okay, because again, you know, we're skipping a few paragraphs. We're going to get to, he's addressing the issue of what's going to be with later generations of Givonim. Okay, so that's where the word Tchila comes in. But let's try not to lose the forest from the trees. Okay, leave out the word Mitchila for the time being. The main breakthrough here, which to me it's mind-boggling, is that Gerus has to accomplish two goals, and it could very well be possible that you could have a Gerus which can only accomplish one of those two goals, but not the second goal. To me, that's a major breakthrough. In his footnote number hey, he attributes this to Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer, the Evan Ozal. So this gives me a sense that the text itself of the Mishkanos HaRoim is going to be like an anonymous presentation of various shittos, and if you look at the footnotes, then you'll figure out who says what. I didn't realize that until I saw the footnote, and he quotes the Evan Ozel. So again, Rabbi Ozel, if we had more time, which I don't have, maybe you have, and I mean that seriously, not sarcastically, take out the Evan Ozel in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, and see if you can find this major breakthrough. He tells you exactly where to find it. Perek Tzai Milchus Yisurim Bia. Now, those who were with me when we had Derech HaLimud Shirim way back in the time, we studied for about a month, you know, the Shitas HaLimud of the Evan Ozel, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, the Rosh Hashiva of Eitz Chaim Yeshiva, right here, a few feet away from where we are. originally he was the Rosh Yeshiva in Klesk back in Lita, but then here he settled in Eretz Yisrael. He was considered in his time the Rosh Yeshiva. And if you heard of Rav Amital Zichrono Livracha, the Rosh Yeshiva of Gush, he married into the family. He married the Rabbi Zalman Meltzer's granddaughter. Be that as it may, what Rabbi Zalman is doing is he's taking one concept and he's breaking it into two. It's very similar to his Rebbe, Rabbi Chaim Brisker, in that sense. He's very much a Talmud of his Rebbe. And he's willing to say the Geirus is made up of two parts, and they don't always coincide, meaning you could have one without the other. And that's going to be the Ravid Shita, according to Rabbi Zalman, with regard to the Givonim and their Geirus. Okay? So we're going back to the beginning of the Geirus of the Givonim. And the Ravid says, Ki Geri Arayos, it's like Geri Arayos, means in some sense the Geris is completely invalid. And then the Ravid says, vis-a-vis what din is it invalid? And he says, with regard to Lotis Chatein Bom. So Rabbi Zalman fills in the missing blank. He says that Geris has to accomplish a heter of Knisa Lakol to be Mati the Iser Lotis Chatein Bom. And the Geris of the Givonim would not accomplish that goal. But on the other hand, what's the basic goal of Geirus? You know, what's the primary dimension of Geirus? Tayag Mitzvahs. I call it Kedushas Yisrael. The Ravid never, ever says that the Givonim don't have Kedushas Yisrael. He never rejects a recognition of the validation of the Geirus of the Givonim. He never rejects that. He never says that Geirus is not a Geirus. He says they have the status as far as marriage of King Geri Arayos. So that second dimension, that second element of Geirus is not going to be valid for these Givonim and their style of Geirus. Again, what's going to be in later generations is going to be our next discussion. What would the Ravid say if down the line a Givoni comes forward on his own initiative with all his sincerity and genuinely wants to embrace the Jewish religion? That's where David HaMelech's Gzeirah is going to come into play. Are you with me? So that's, let's go back to the Ravid, but I just wanted to show you that there's something really magnificent in its structure that's presenting itself in front of our eyes. Now look at the next line in the Ravid. This is the third line in the paragraph Od Hevi, right? And he writes, V'Yoshua v'David gozer aleim shalom nekabel mehem gerim li'olam. Please emphasize the word nekabel. The word nekabel introduces a whole new concept into the laws of Geirus. And what basically it says is that the Beis Din for Geirus is not just playing what I would call a passive role, meaning, I'll give you an example, like if I came back from a trip to Chutz Lartz, I have to bench Gomel. So I bench Gomel, but I have to do it in front of 10 people. The 10 people play a passive role. They're just there to, so to speak, facilitate my bracha. But I'm the Mavarech. So what's the role of Beis Din? A ger has to be a skyer in the presence of Beis Din. What would you say? How would you define Beis Din? Is it passive or active?
Yes.
Passive. That would have been my knee-jerk response. Comes along the right, and he says, Nan, the Beis Din on the Kabel ger. He's introducing a whole new element into the equation. But again, he's only talking about which dimension of Geirus?
Just the
No, he's only talking about Knesset Lakal. He's saying that David HaMelech outlawed, in a sense, David HaMelech addressed the Batei Dinim of Klal Yisrael throughout history, and he mandated to them, enjoined them from being Makabalis Geirim. But again, vis-a-vis what? Vis-a-vis Knesset Lakal.
So they're still chayav in targumos.
That's number one. They're still chayvin the tag. This is number two. What's going to be the nature of their Issa Knesset Lakol? Is it Doraisa or the Rabbana? No, it's going to be Doraisa.
Oh, because it's going to be Batei Chatein is going to continue.
Correct, exactly, because when David HaMelech how should I say, obligates the Bezdin to cease or desist from playing the active role in Gerus. He's saying to them, don't be makabel them as Gerim as far as Knesset Lekol is concerned. Do you follow? We go back to Rabbi Salman's Tzvei Dinim in Gerus, and we're saying the following. As far as Gerus for Tayyag Mitzvahs is concerned, I call it Kedushas Yisrael. Here the Bezdin is playing a passive role. All they have to do is, like the case of, that I gave from Agomel, is to facilitate the Ger's ability to be Megayer. But basically, from A to Z, it's the Ger's being Megayer. He needs the Bezdin just to be there. You know, it's, they're there for technical reasons. You know, like you go in front of a justice of the peace in order to declare, you know, marriage or whatever it is, right? So Bezdin is playing a passive role. That's only as far as Kedushas Yisrael. But as far as Knesset Lekol is concerned, here Bezdin has to play an active role. They have to be makabel the ger. They have to welcome him and validate his full-fledged Kedushas Yisrael, even as far as marriage is concerned. And David HaMelech says, don't you dare do that. He made a gzera. And Memela, what we're left with is an Issa Doraisa throughout all the generations. Now, again, in Rabbeinu Tam's frame of reference, there's a total, you come to the same conclusion, but for a totally different reason. Rabbeinu Tam has also agreed that all the Givonim for all generations are prohibited from Knesset Lekol Doraisa Dolotis Chatein, but for a totally different reason. Not because Bezdin are enjoined from being Makabel them as Gerim, the Gerus is fine, but because the Torah does, as far as Yuchsin is concerned, the Torah says we don't want this Yuchsin in Klal Yisrael. That's the Isser of Zion Amamin. Has nothing to do with the Givonim, Rabosai. In other words, Rabbeinu Tam is not talking about the Givonim. Rabbeinu Tam is talking about the Zion Amamin. And as far as the Zion Amamin are concerned, Rabbeinu Tam maintains, Lo Tischatein Bo. Don't allow them into the call. They can have the best Gerus in the world, but it doesn't matter. They still remain Givonim. The Raven, on the other hand, is saying something specifically, exclusively about the Givonim. And what he's saying about the Givonim is that the Givonim were a nation that were misgayer as far as Tariq Mitzvahs is concerned, in the context in which Bezdin plays a passive role, but Bezdin will not be mekabel them as gerim. We don't want them as gerim as far as Knesset Lekol is concerned, because they're motivated by the wrong reasons. Comes along David HaMelech, and he says that even if behemshech hadoros, you know, at some point down the line you'll have a givoni who is honestly, genuinely self-motivated to embrace the Jewish religion, nevertheless David says, don't be mekabel them. And now Bezdin is going to fulfill the gzera of David, and they will not be mekabel them as gerim. Does that mean that they can't become gerim? They will become gerim, but only as far as what? Tayyag mitzvahs, but not as far as Knesset Lekol. Memela, you end up with an Issa Doraisa of Lotus Chatein Bom, because the gerus is incomplete. It's not because of the yuchsin of Zayin Amamin. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the Gerus might be absolutely complete, but the Yuchsin of Zayin Amamim is such that the Torah says we don't want them as part of Klal Yisrael. And that's not limited to the Givonim. That applies to the Yevusim and the Girgashim and the whole lot. According to the Raven, we have a new category called the Nesinim or the Givonim, and the Torah prohibits them under Lotus Chatein Bom, and that's a Dorais Halacha, because the Gerus was an incomplete Gerus. Because vis-a-vis Knesset Lekol, we weren't makabel in this game. Let's see it inside. He says, "V'yoshua v'David gazru aleim shlo nekabel mehem gerim li'olam k'day l'sarek b'Yisrael," meaning to clinch the gerus on the complete level of allowing them to enter in. For that, we're not going to be makabel in this gerim. Is mikol makom is stoan k'tchilosanhem, which means that in any event, it comes out that even a ger who is motivated, self-motivated to become a ger from the Givonim, is stolen kitchilos, and their status is exactly like that first generation because of David HaMelech's gzera. Do you follow it? Again, there's so much here in the language. You know, stolen kitchilos means it's all doraisa. So even if down the line The Givoni doesn't have the Kigeri Arayis. He's not afraid of the Jewish people. He's sincere about his Gerus. But nevertheless, he has the same Isa Darais of Knisa Lekal as the Tchilasan. Why? Because of David Amelis Gzera. And the Bezdin is never going to accept him as Gerim, as far as Knisa Lekal. V'im Tomar. If you'll ask him, Cain, Lama, Yeshlem, Knas, Yeshla, Knas. Right? You might ask the question, well, how could an individual, in this case a Naira, who belongs to the Nesinim and whose Gerus is an incomplete Gerus, how can you pay a Knas for them? Their Gerus is incomplete. Says the Rabbi Litamech, if you're raising that objection, Vaktani Akusis Yeshlan Knas. And Akusis Lechora is really Geri Arayis. That's not a valid Geris at all. So we really have a problem with that Mishnah, because the Torah never imposed the Knas to pay a non-Jewish woman. Elo halacha kulam gerim heim. What it means is that even that low grade, gerus of the kusim, which is geri arayis, even that is a valid gerus, which is again is a machlokus in the Gemara itself. But according to that man d'yomar, we can understand now a Mishnah, and there is a valid status of gerus to that gerus. Hakosiv Osran li Osan Sheva Umos. The Torah says that we don't want you to marry into these nominations. May also Geris Shevashas Kibush, Lufisha Daina Dukim Bi Akum Velotish Takach Mi Piem. He says, as far as the Zion Amamin are concerned, the Torah was not happy with their behavior. And they would continue to be Oduk B'Akum. One second. And therefore what? Even though they are Gerim, right? They are Gerim, but the Torah says that since they're Adukim B'Akum, V'im Chazru V'Kiblo Osam V'Bezdin, L'Yachar Mikam U'Torim Hoyu El Shigozru Aleim. Just one second, I have to read this again because I'm not sure what he means. So again, why did they get knas if the gerus is incomplete? So I'll ask you, why does the kusis get a knas? So what I'm going to tell you, I'm going to invoke the sugi yivamis chavtalid, that there is a validation of the gerus. That's he quotes Rav Dalof Kidivyoma Kulam Gerim Haim. So with this he says he tells you to look in Os Yud. So maybe this is premature. Let me just read it on a superficial level. Akasiv Osran Li Osan Sheva Umos May Osa Geru Shevashas Kibush Safisha Madukim Bi Akum. They're still connected to idol worship. I'll tell you what, I'd be happy if he was saying the following. I'm not sure he is saying this, but I'll tell you what would make me a happy camper here. Is what he means is that the reason why they can collect a knas is because they have the status of gerim, and he quotes his Gemara of Rav that we paskin that their gerus is a valid gerus. Are they allowed to marry into the Jewish nation? The answer is no. Why? Because the Torah didn't see their gerus as a real serious gerus. They continued even after the gerus to worship idols. But then he says that what would be im chazru v'kibu osam v'bezdin li'achamikan, is mutarim hayu el shegazru aleihem. I'll tell you what I think he's saying. Again, Rav Osai, this is very tentative. I think he's saying if the Beis Din would be makabel them as gerim, because let's say the Beis Din is convinced that they will not continue in their paganistic culture, then they would be allowed to marry into the Jewish people. They would be allowed to marry into the Jewish people on a Doraisa level. But I think this Gozru Aleihem is a reference to Zion Amamin. It's not a reference to the Givonim. In the case of the Givonim, because of their achzarius, their cruelty, David said, no Bezin should be makabel them. He at the end of this rivet, he's addressing a different question. What happens if Bezin's Makabel is Makabel a ger from the Zion Umos that don't exhibit this kind of cruelty level? In that case, the only issue is, are they worshipping idols? So here we're going to say that because they are still, you know, they can't get the paganism out of their bloodstream, it's so profoundly imprinted on their psyche, therefore, we're going to make a gzera that we're not going to marry. We're not going to allow them to marry, and that's going to be derabbanan. You follow the difference? In the case of Givonim, the David HaMelech was so he was so repulsed by their behavior that he said to the Batei Dinim, "Don't be makabel legerus." And if you're not Makabal Negerus, then it means as far as Lotus Chateimbom is concerned, there's an Issa Dorais of Knesset Lekol. In the case of the Zion Amamin, the issue was not Achzorius and being repulsed. The issue was that they're not genuine about their religion, you know, the Jewish religion. They're flippy-flopsy, you know, they're back in the monasteries and in the temples of Zeus, and then they're worshipping idols. So what's the status here? So if there would be a serious and sincere gerus, then on a Doraisa level, there would not be any Iser of Lotus Chatein Bom if Beis Din would accept them as gerim. So this is not a violation of David HaMelech, because David HaMelech says don't accept the Givonim. As far as the bulk, the balance of the Zayin Amamin, David HaMelech didn't say don't accept the gerus of Givonim. On a Doraisa level, they remain mutarim if there was a sincere gerus. But nevertheless, David gazar aleihem. David says don't marry them. It's a separate iser of chitun. I mean, what needs to be explained is why did David make that additional leap. And how does he effectuate that you're not allowed to marry them if the Torah says you are allowed to marry them? You see, in the case of the Givonim, David HaMelech makes more sense. I mean, the mechanics of it. And David HaMelech says, we're not going to be makabel them as gerim. The writer doesn't seem to have any objection to be makabel the gerim of the Zion Amamin, except for the fact that David made it clear that we should not marry them. That's a separate Iser Chitur. Now, he calculates in this next paragraph the nafkamina between the Ramban and the Raivit. According to the Ramban, the original Gerus of that generation is a complete Gerus, and therefore, although the Torah said, Lo tischatim bov in the first generation, when we get to the second generation, there's no Iser at all in our Torah. So therefore, the whole institution of an Issa Doraisa Lotus Chatein Bom is just a historical element in the past. It only applied during that first generation, and therefore, Lachein Hutzach Ramban Lomer She Mishkachas Le Issa Torbech Mizayin Amim Shebol Isgayer Betchila Bizman Azeh. V'lo b'giv onim atzmam shen izgayru kulam b'dara kibush. Just 1 second. Tizeh b'zman hazeh. So again, now that we're in the second generation, not the generation of Yeshua, there is no Isulot Ischatim Bom with regard to the Sinim that underwent Gerus. Now, what's this next line? Lefichach Hutzrach Haramban Lo Mishemishkachas Le'isut Torah B'Echad Mizayin Umos. Okay. Wait a minute, where do we have... Oh, I see. In other words, if a Givoni would come today to be Miskayer, then he's considered a first generation Ger Givoni, and therefore he'd be also ben HaTorah. So the descendants of the original Givonim would be Mutter ben HaTorah, because they're not first generation. Right? They were born Jewish, so to speak. But if you have a Givoni, I'm sorry, if you have a member of the Zion Amamim, let's call it a Girgashi, so he's not the product, he's not the child of Gerim. And therefore, if he comes to be Mizgayer, then the Isolava Lotischatim Bom is going to be Doraisa. As far as the Givonim themselves, it's only that original Dar, which is the first Dar of Gerim, that the Torah said Lo Tischatein Bom. And the offspring of that first Dar were born into the faith, they're born Jewish, and they would not come under any sort of an Isur of Lo Tischatein Bom.
That's with Zion Amamim?
No, again, I'm talking about the Givonim now. We're talking about the offspring of the Givonim. The offspring of the Givonim, whose parents or grandparents, etc., were Mizgayer, they're allowed to marry into the Jewish faith on a Doraisa level.
But what about the Gezerah of Yeshua and David?
So that's only the Rabbanim. But the Ramban recognizes that Bisman HaZeh, the Yisrael Lo Tischatein Bom, does apply Doraisa to the Zion Amamim. Why? Because they're not children of Gerim. So they come under the first generation of Gerim, like the Givonim of then. Their children can marry into the faith, but not they themselves. So if a Girgashi would today come for conversion, the Yisrael Lo Tischatein Bom, right, if this, let's say this Girgashi is a woman, if I want to marry her after Agerus, that's an Issa Doraisa Lo Tischatein Bom. Her children, on the other hand, could marry into the Jewish faith.
Because Basin has to be called in the Agerus. And they have a mitzvah of Lo Sechaya from Hashem. Out of the Basin, you can accept them as Agerus when the mitzvah is actually to kill them.
So that's an interesting question, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, again, we have to go back to the Sefer HaMitzvahs, that Lo Tischatein Bom only applies before Agerus. I'm sorry. Starting in of Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama only applies before Gerus, but after Gerus there's no longer.
No, I'm saying,
how did they get there?
Basically, has to be mekabel in the Gerus. You walk in the door, basically, right. Says, I have two choices: I mekabel you Gerus or I kill you. Mitzvah you right. To kill you. Right. I don't have a mitzvah to be mekabel you, so they should kill him.
Ah,
so they have no shiva.
I guess what comes out is that the Basin has to offer them a choice. You know, Basin doesn't have to kill them unless they are unwilling to be Miskaya. If they're willing to be Miskaya, Basin doesn't have to kill them. But again, for that, we'd have to take out the Rambam on Lo Tischatein Bom. I'm sorry. I keep still repeating the same mistake. You know, all the. On Lo Sechai Kol Neshom. I don't know if you have a minute to do that. If you could look up the Rambam on Lo Sechai Kol Neshom. Okay. Oh, so that's the Ramban. Now we get to the Ravid. Avol l'shitas ha-Ravid.
You're on the second page.
Hadinu ipcha. Dilav lo tiskaten nemar rak begerus sholdor kibush. Diskayru mipachad v'lo b'lev sholem v'harehem kegeri arayos. And again, Lo Tischatein Bom tells me that since they were not motivated by Lishma in their Gerus, therefore we're not going to be makabel them to Knisa Lekol.
Yeah.
Aval Yachar Mikan, if a Ger comes along on his own initiative, in a very sincere way, and he wants to be his guy, he's a member of the Zion Amamin, Areyu Yisrael Gomur, V'eino Belav Lotischatin. Again, the Ramban could not accept this because the Ramban holds the Lotischatin always applies to the first generation. So if during the course of history, a member of the Zion Amamin comes forward on his own initiative to be his guy, here we're going to have a machlok between the Ramban and the Raivid. The Ramban is going to be Machmir. He's going to say that first generation cannot enter into Kohol, whereas the Raivid is going to allow that person to enter into Kohol. The only Iser of Lotischatimbom applies to the Geri Arayas situation, which means that they were Mizgayer not on their own initiative, but because of the fear of the Jewish people. So that's one Nafkamina. Now keep in mind, everything that we're learning here in these four lines is on a Doraisa, this is before the Gzeir of David. Ula'idak Isa, okay, I'm hoping that now the Ravid is going to be the Machmir, let's see. B'neim shal elush and his Gair b'dar kibu shalo kibu aleim kabolas geris chadosha asurim gam hayom min ha-Torah mikro delo tischatein bom. So he's talking now about the second generation Givonim. When I say second generation, I mean from the second generation and on. And he's saying the following, that according to the Ravid, since the Gerus of the second generation is an inherited Gerus from the first generation, and that first generation were not motivated Lishma, therefore the second generation, if they didn't have a new Kabbalah of Gerus, rather they were just relying on the fact that they were brought up Jewish, so to speak, they would be included under Lo Tischatin Bom, just like their parents. Because the Ravid doesn't have that limitation of the Ramban that it only applies for one generation. So for all generations, they can, again, if they come with a brand new Gerus that we saw would remove Lo Tischatin Bom according to the Ravid. And even though they are first generation Gerim, that doesn't bother me as long as the Gerus wasn't Geri Arayas. So in that sense, the Ravid is the Mekil. But the Ravid is going to be the Machmir in second generation Geri Arayas, if you follow what I mean. Whereas the Ramban is saying that the Isur of Lotischatin Bom never applied to the children of Gerim. Because again, the Ramban is not recognizing a flaw in the Gerus. That wasn't the Ramban's issue. The Ramban's issue was the Yuchsin. And now if they were born Jewish, to Jewish parents who had converted, even though they were Givonim, then on a Doraisa level, the Torah says you're allowed to marry them. There's no problem in their Gerus. The Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, the Ravid, on the other hand, starts with Givonim as having a flaw in their Gerus. Well, that's going to carry on to the second generation. And therefore, we cannot be matir the second generation as far as the Isur Lo Tischatin Bom.
This is Givonim or Zion Amamim? This paragraph that we're reading now, Abba Lishita Haravid.
Let's think about that. According to the Ravid Shita, we have this Gerus of Geri Arayas. I would say the following, Yosef. Theoretically, it could apply to all Zion Amamin. But Lumaisa, Befal, his presentation only applies to the Givonim. Why? Because of all the Zion Amamim, the Geri Arayas reality only expressed itself in the Givonim. If you follow what I'm saying by express itself, what I mean to say, it only
the
became...
We suspected that they were Geri Arayot.
No, I don't mean suspected. I mean, none of the other members of the Zion Amamin came forward to be Mizgayer. None of them. They were all anti-Jewish, so to speak. The one who at least played lip service and said, I want to be Mizgayer, were the Givonim. So theoretically, you're right. Let's say, at some point in Jewish history, and Amir Tzshem will hope this will come about, you know, the mighty forces of the Jews will be such that non-Jews will be so afraid, they'll come forward to be Mizgayer. Then you would have the same situation of Geri Arayas. And therefore they would not be allowed to marry into the Jewish people. But barring that reality, right? There's no such thing as Geri Arayas in the nations of the world. They're all self-motivated for a full Kabbalah's Gerus that would allow them to marry into the Jewish. The exception would be the children of the Givonim. Because the children of the Givonim never had their own personal Kabbalah's Geirus. They only identify themselves as Jews because of their parents. And if their parents or grandparents were the Dor HaKibush, and that means Geiri Arayis, they too have the same status as the original Geiri Arayis, which is going to mean that there's an Issa Dorais of Lotus Chateinbaum. In other words, this whole reality of this whole mitzius of a second generation Geiri Arayis really only applies to the Givonim. It could theoretically apply to any member of the Zion Amim. And if any member of the Zion Amim would convert and was motivated to do so because of the fear of the Jewish people, they would again be Geiri Arayis, and their children would have the same status as them with an Issa Dorais of Lotus Chateinbaum. But befall, in terms of history, what actually happened in reality was that the only nation of the nations of the world who came forward out of fear of the Jewish people to be Mizgaya were the Givonim. So this whole entity called the Bnei HaGivonim, in which Lotus Chateinbaum Dorais is going to extend to the Bonim and all the generations to come, that only applies befall in the case of Givonim. Conceptually, it could apply to any of the Zion mitzvahs.
And just as an aside point, if the pasuk in the Megillah, Rabbim me'amei ha'aretz mit yahadim ki nafal pachad ha'yehudim aleihem, is that accepted or not accepted? They're not Zion Amim, they're not Givonim.
It would seem to me, at least in the Ravitz frame of reference, if we assume the Nafal Pachad Yehudim Aleihem, it becomes Geiri Arayis. It means they would have the obligation to observe the Tariq Mitzvahs, but we would not allow them to get married. And that would come under the Gzeir of David HaMelech, just like we saw in the Givonim.
They're just Amei Haaretz. They weren't Givonim.
Correct. I'm saying that should apply as well. That would be like a case of, you know, of Gerim who are motivated by fear. And we may say that the passive part of Beis Din could operate and their Geiris would be meaningful, and therefore hence the Chayiv in Tariq Mitzvahs. But as far as the active element of Beis Din, to be Mekabel them as full-fledged Geiris such that they can marry to the Jewish folk, that we're not going to go that far, because this Geiris is a Geiri Arayis out of fear.
Right. Right definition.
So it means the descendants of the original Givonim would have the same status as their ancestors, and it would be an Issa Dorais of Lotus Chateinbaum, because they didn't accept a brand new Gerus out of sincerity. Well, now what happens if you have a descendant of the Givonim who is willing and eager to be Misgayer? Well, on a Doraisa level, his Gerus would be fine. But remember, David HaMelech instructed the Batei Dinim throughout history not to be Mekabel them as Gerim.
Forever.
Forevermore. And therefore, despite their sincerity, they would not be allowed to marry into the Jewish faith, because their bloodstream, their spiritual genetic code is full of achlayot, of achzorios. When we call them David Goz, Shal Yikabel Man Gerim, Afal Pishav Boim Lizgar Michadosh. So they're coming on their own initiative with all the sincerity in the world to be Mizgaya, that's fine. And they'll be Mizgaya in front of a Beis Din, and that's wonderful, and then they'll put on tefillin the next morning. But we cannot be Mekabel them as Gerim actively to allow them to marry into the Jewish faith, because their genetic code is one of achzorios. Right, that's what the Rambam already said before, that the Givonim were very cruel to the Bnei Shaul HaMelech. So that's only the Givonim. So David HaMelech's Gzerah, such that there should not be a Kabbalah's Gerus that would effectuate a Doraisa Heter of Knesa Lekol, that applies exclusively to the Givonim. Now let's just talk about the rest of the balance of the Zion Amamim. If they come to be Mizgayer on their own, So certainly on a deraisa level, there's no iser v'lo tischatei bo. But what about the gzeir of David? Would that apply? I would assume that there was no gzeir of David. But I don't know, before we saw in the Lashon HaRaavad something a little bit more complicated. Because he says, HaKosev Osron Li'osam Zayin Amimim Oso Gerish V'Shas Kibush. And then he writes, V'imchazu V'kibu Osam Be'bezdim Li'achem Ikan Mutarim Hayu El Shegazra Alein. So that's on the Rabbanon level. But here, he's talking about the Doraisa level. And he says that David Gozar Shalo Yukabamim Gerim Afal Pishad Boim Luzgarmi Chodosh. Oh, and now the Geris is not, I'm sorry, the Isur Lotus Chatimom is Doraisa. And then he says, but that's only in the Givonim. With regard to Shar Zion Amavim, oh, this is good, this will validate what we said before. There, if they come on their own with a genuine, self-motivated gerus, we would allow them to marry into the Jewish faith, because that's not included in the gzeir of David HaMelech.
If they don't have that azorius,
right? But what about the adukim be'avodah zarah? That's only in those generations, right? That's only then. Just 1 second. Where does he have this Hadukim B'Avodah Zarah? Where was that? That was on the previous page, no? Oh yeah, at the end of the paragraph, Od Hevi, and he says, HaKosiv Osron Yelson Shemiz M'Yosin Geris Yishaz. Ah! So that Yisrov Lo Tischatim Bom only applies then, because they were still idol worshippers, correct?
Yeah.
Ah, but what does he mean when he says, M'Chazru V'Kibu Osam V'Bezdin, Hayu Elishagozra Leya? That's what I'm wondering, if this Chazur Kablosim is referring to the Givonim or is referring to the Zayin Amim?
Zayin Amim.
It seems like he's referring to the Zayin Amim. But then he's saying that there is an Issa Darabonon even in Zayin Amim, even with a brand new Gerus. Now we go to this paragraph, Avol. And then he writes, Umi komakom, David goes to the Kabbalah, I'm Gary Mafal Pishabon, who's going to be closing. Yeah, this last line here is very confusing. Because he says,
together, the Givonim and the Sheva Humot, and it's impossible to tell where one starts and the other.
No, I'm just saying, at the end of this paragraph, Avol, on the second side, he writes, Umi komakom, David Gozar, Shalom, Yikablu, Mehem, Gerim. So now he's saying that on Shara Amin there is no such Yisur, even Durabana. That's the impression you get. Whereas on the first page he says, here he's saying there is a Gzera.
But the Gzer Aleihem refers only to Givonim, doesn't refer to Zayin Amin.
But just read it inside. I mean, I agree with you in concept, but how are you reading the text? He says, "Akos v'asim li'osin sheva amamin," because they're adukim bi'akum. And regarding that group called the sheva amamin, he introduces the gzera of David. You see what he says? El shegazer aleihem.
Yes. David Gazar Aleihem. That's definitely the Givonim, not the Zayin Amamim.
So I don't know, it's a little choppy.
Yeah,
I agree with you in concept. I just
salad.
Don't know how to read it into the words, because he says, HaKosiv Osron Li Osan Sheva Umos. And then he says, El Shin Gazar Aleihem. It sounds like he's talking about the Sheva Umos. I can't figure that out. You know, if he's only referring to the Givonim, I understand it very well. Okay, now we get to the Me'iri, Rabosai. Okay, so we're on the second side, and we're looking at the paragraph V'chem kosev behejah me'iri. Now at this point, he is identifying the Me'iri with the Ravid. But we're going to see in the bottom paragraph, the Ulam, that he is going to present a machlokas between the Me'iri and the Ravid. I'm sorry, yeah, between the Ravid and the Me'iri, right? He says, Kein kosu beheja Me'iri, that the Nesinim are also level of Kol Minat Torah because they are the children of the Givonim, and the original Gerus of the Givonim was not a complete Gerus. It wasn't a serious Gerus, and therefore there was no Heter on the Issa level of Kol of Lotus Chatein Bo. But yet the Meiri agrees that the Gerus, despite the, you know, the superficial level of this Gerus, right, is enough to be Machayev them Tayag Mitzvahs. But now he quotes the language of the Meiri. We call them Dafka Hem Atzma Vitoldoseim Shekayotzim, and we call Shechazru Bneim Venizgayru Mitchila Hareim Minatora Kishar Gerim. So that, you know, that seems to eliminate. You have to add a sentence here. This presentation of the Meiri is before David HaMelech. So before David HaMelech, if the Givoni comes on his own initiative with a sincere Gerus, then he's allowed to marry into the Jewish family, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he writes. Kol shechazu b'neim and his gairu mitchila. It's an original gairus. They're not standing on the shoulders of the gairus of the b'nei. The b'nei doro shall Yoshua. Harei minat Torah kishar gairu. Please emphasize that minat Torah. She'ein lahem isu doros. Mishin is gairu l'shem Yisraelus legamre, right? Because we're not operating with any sort of a yuchsin issue like a menutam that forevermore we can't allow these nations of the seven nations to enter into. No, gairus is sincere, but that's already on the Torah level. The efshar ba mesha omru she David gazar she pirusho she chazar ve gazar aleim leisur doros. So at this point it sounds absolutely identical to the Ravid. Namely that on a Daraisa level, if they come with their original sincere Gerus, then they're allowed to marry to. But David made Gzera for all generations, even though the Gerus was absolutely sincere. Val Elushin is Gairu Omer B'Yavamas Shebimei Rebbe Bikshu Lahatir Nesinim. In other words, they took David HaMelech's Gzera and they wanted to find a Heter.
Right.
Maybe at the time of David HaMelech, he didn't foresee that we would have a need for more Gerim. You know, we have enough Baruch Hashem in the ranks of Klal Yisrael, but maybe at the time of Rebbe already, they had a more sympathetic attitude towards Gerus. Let's see if we can find sincere Gerim. These were sincere Gerim. So Rebbe wanted to be Matir, accepting these Gerim. Again, this is all, according to Rebbe Zalman, the dimension of Gerus that's active, in which Bezdin are Makabal Gerim, and now Rebbe comes along and he says, let's be Makabal these Gerim, because they're not like their ancestors who accepted Gerus out of fear, they're accepting Gerus out of sincerity.
But they came to
the
Gairu again?
No. Well, yeah, they could, or one of their descendants for the first time. Do you follow what I mean? It could be either they themselves.
Just not in the generation of Gairu Rats or Gairu Fear. Those people who Gairu back then, it's done with. There we were. And there's something wrong with that Gairus. It's going to go on forever that way.
So and David is going to say that even if they're sincere about that Gerus, we're not going to accept them into college. So comes along Rebbe.
But he's saying what? Sincere that even if David is now questioning whether they were sincere 700 years before him? Or
no.
Talking about Bisman is there, they came again and said, look, our ancestors were Geir. We're Chayim and Tari Mitzvahs, we want to be Geir again. That's what's going on?
Right. No, there are two reasons why why these Givonim and their descendants cannot enter into Klal Yisrael, cannot marry. The first reason is because of Geir Arayis. The second reason is because we just don't want their blood admixing with our blood, because they are Achzorim. Now, Rebbe wants to say, well, okay, you want to say that David HaMelech blocked the Bezdin, prevented the Bezdin from being Makabel these Gerim. Rebbe wants to say, let's alleviate, I don't know what word to use, that Gzera of David HaMelech. These are sincere Gerim, and the old Achzorim and all those, you know, right, let's read it inside. Val Elushin is Gairu, Omer B'Yavamish HaBimei Rebbe, Bikshu Lahatir Nesinim, the Ein Tzorach Lom V'Elush Yeshlam Knas Sharei Eini Surim Min HaTorah. In other words, our Mishnah says that there are Nesinim that will receive the Knas. Apparently they're not considered non-Jews, at least on a Daraisa level. Elisha Mishnah Seinu V'Osam Shalom Is Gairu Migerusam HaRishon V'Elech L'Geris Gomer. In other words, they just continued with the Geris of their forefathers, which was not a complete Geris, and therefore Rebbe would not want to, you know, remove the status quo of David HaMelech. So again, let's assume that Rebbe is at the time of our Mishnah. I mean, that makes sense, right? Rebbe authors the Mishnah. So at that point in time, Rebbe wants to say Yeshlem Knas. Why? So on the one hand, Yeshlem Knas might be because of the Doraisa status, because we said that if there's a sincere Gerus, it's only David HaMelech who was responsible for creating an Issa Doraisa Lotus Chatimah by enjoining the Bezdin from being Makabel them, right, in the Kuvase. Comes along Rebbe and he wants to say, look, we need more Gerus. I mean, I'm just making that up, right? We need more Gerim. These people are very sincere. Maybe their ancestors were full of Achzorius, but they're on a different level. You know, the Achzorius has panned out over the years. So now the Mishnah says Yeshlem Knas. Again, the two ways of learning Yeshlem Knas. One way of learning Yeshlem Knas is because their Gerus is valid to Oraisa as far as Tayag Mitzvahs is concerned. And even if there's an Isalot Tischatein Bom, there will still be a Knas. The other way of learning it is that Rebbe wanted to completely remove the Isar of Lot Tischatein Bom by allowing Bezdin to be Megayer them, Begerus Gomor, because they're sincere about their Gerus. And again, times have changed. So within that perspective, Rebbe would allow them to enter into Kali, so those Givonim who would be absolutely sincere about their Gerus. Right. Hence, they can collect the Knas.
So it's sort of like a Poket Avon Avot type of a thing.
What I want to do with you now is just to see the last paragraph on the right, because we're going to have to dam Mincha. And this, I think, gives us some closure, because now he compares the Ravid with the Meiri. And he writes the following. Kol zehu l'das ha-Ravid. D'mashem l'shon sh'liach ha-gzer is David sh'lo l'kabal mehem gerim nisharu b'isa chitu min ha-Torah. Correct? Because if David instructs the Bezdin not to be makabal the gerim, then that element of gerus, where Bezdin does the Maisa Magayer, they implement the Maisa Magayer in order to allow the Ger to enter into Kali, so that's going to be removed. And hence we're back to the Issa Doraisa of Lotus Chatima. Aval lefi Dibre HaMeiri Di Ilu Elush and his Gairu Eini Surim in HaTorah. If you read the Meiri carefully, he's saying that those who come forward with their own sincere Gerus, they're allowed to marry Jews. V'David Gozar Isu Doros Al Elush and his Gairu Mashma Di Afshein Mekablim Oso Bezdin Mikolokom in his Gairu. So you have that passive element in which they were just simply misgayer in the presence of Bezdin. That shavim in atorik gayerim gmurim aflin yin chitun. In other words, the iser chitun, according to the Meiri, by virtue of David's gzera, is only a drabbanan. It's only an iser drabbanan. That's according to the Meiri. Whereas the Ravid is saying that since David HaMelech told the Beis Din not to be Megayer them, then we're missing that second element of Giyur, and therefore we have an Iser of Lotus Chatim Bodoraisa. But the Meiri is saying if they come to be Mizgayer, and we have reason to believe that their Geiris is sincere and complete, then the worst case scenario would be a Gzeiras David. So the Meiri sees it as it's a kind of a stigma, if you could use that term, on the Gavra of the Ger, that he cannot marry a Jewish woman. According to the Riven, on the other hand, it's not a stigma on the Gavra, but rather it's Avkaz Gerus, because David is going to tie the hands of the Batei Dinim throughout the generation vis-a-vis the Gerus, the last element in the Gerus, the clincher of the Gerus, vis-a-vis the Givonim and all their descendants. Now, again, if I can fit in one more minute, you'll tell me if they started Mincha, we'll open the door to hear. But at the end of this paragraph, in Imtsenu Lemedim, and he says that according to the Ravid, and this is how Rabbi Zalman wanted to learn the Ravid, there's a second element in Geirus which requires a Kabbalist Geirus al Yidei Bezdin to allow them Knisa Lekal. And here he writes, Umuchach Mikan, the last three lines, the Yisod Din Gerus, so he's talking about that second element of Gerus, which accepts the Ger to be Mater him, to marry into the Jewish. Eino Zeh Shager Atzmo Mizgayer. I'm sorry, how do you read the word Eino? This one's so sorry. Muchach Mikan, the Yisod Din Gerus, Gerus Eino.
It's not because.
So again, as far as blocking the Geirus is concerned, we're not blocking the Ger Atzmo Mizgayer. The Bezdin is just there to facilitate the Maisa Geirus. That's not what we're talking about. On that level, the Geirus is absolutely complete. Ella, but with regard to the level of Lotus Chatein Bom, Bezdin Heim HaMagayrim. So with regard to Knisa Lekal, Bezdin has to play the active role, and David HaMelech enjoined the Batei Dinim throughout the generation from playing that role vis-a-vis the Givonim, because David HaMelech wanted to separate the blood of the Givonim from the blood of the Jewish people. And hence we have a Doraisa. The Meiri on the other hand, and that's the last few lines on the bottom of left column, right column, he's going to say that we can be makabel them to Bezdin, but nevertheless David is going to create a new stigma, a new Isur on those that converted from the Nesinim. Shovim. So again, even though the Meiri agrees to the Ravid that David Amel told the Batei Dinim not to be makabel these Gerim, but nevertheless, if they did undergo Gerus, in this Gairu, you see that last line, next Shovim in HaTorah Kegerim Gmurim Afli in Chitun.
That's only in HaTorah.
Correct.
The Gzeir of David is
right, but I'm just saying that the Gzeir of David is to graft onto these Gerim a status of an Isur. It's a brand new Isur Drabbanon. It's not the way the Ravid had it, that by enjoining the Bezdin from being Makabal these Gerim, Mimele you're left with an Isur Doraisa of Lotus Chatein Bom. Now in this last paragraph on the top, before he closes this section, he quotes another Rambam in Perek, in Hilchos Isurim, not in Perek Yud Beis, but in Perek Yud Gimel, and the Rambam asks the question, how could Shimshon HaGibor and Shlomo HaMelech marry non-Jewish women? I mean, they're shiksas, and he's not able to tolerate that. So the Rambam comes up with a very unique idea that Shlomo HaMelech was Megayer these women. Now, I don't know what that means, he was Megayer. How did he just snap his fingers and they became Gerim? Shimshon was Megayer. V'lo'al pi Bezdin. I don't know what that means. Maybe he means there was a presence of Bezdin, but Bezdin did not play an active role. They refused to accept these women because they were paganistic women. So there's a machlokas in between Shlomo HaMelech and Shimshon on the one hand and the Ribbono Shlom on the other hand. And the Ribbono Shlom wins the day. And he says, Chashav HaKosav Kilumeim Akum. we're not going to recognize this Gerus. You can't just, you know, have a Gerus without Bezdin. Bezdin is, has to be Mekabel the Gerim, and Bezdin don't, they're not interested in being Mekabel the Gerim for women who continue to worship idols.
Do you want a copy of the other
Ezra? That would be great. That would be great. Okay, let's